This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Spill it over your tape recorders. I'm recording this too, I hope you don't mind. I'll be judging you all later.
Are you transcribing?
I can if you want to. You'd never be able to read my writing, but you could try.
Daniel, you know the Harry Potter movies? Some people really like Catholic people or Christian people criticize it because they say that, you know, all the wizard things were kind of heretic. But this movie seems to have like a strong Catholic message. I don't know if you're from Britain, so maybe you're Protestant. I don't know. How do you feel?
I'm not religious at all.
So how do you feel with the fact that the movie seems to have, like, you know, with the Virgin Mary and everything, seems to have like a strong Catholic intention or not?
Well, to be honest, I play a Catholic boy. We've grown up in a Catholic orphanage, so there are obviously going to be lots of Catholic themes. I mean, if I'm playing a Jewish boy, you know, now we'd be celebrating New Year. So, I mean, it just varies as to what the part was, you know. And, I mean, it didn't really make any particular difference to me. Even though I'm not religious, I didn't object to it. I mean, I'm sort of along those lines, I think. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sort of confused, I suppose. Really. But I mean, yeah, there was. I mean, the person who's been my tutor for about 7 or 8 years, and you know, has just been amazing for me. Well, she's Catholic, and so it was actually really, really good to talk to her, because she grew up in Malta, and so it was a very Catholic country, and so it was really good to talk to her actually about Catholicism, about how it can. If your faith is shaken, or you do something that feels natural that might contravene what your faith says you do, she was just telling me about how Maps would feel about what he's doing based on his background, which was very, very helpful.
But do you think the movie have a Catholic message? Are you concerned that the movie might be seen like? But actually, has it makes some fun of the dance and
yeah,
like
I mean,
I think
it's just
scene, so it's just like.
I think it's just. I don't think I wouldn't read this film as being about a Catholic message. I would say this. It's a film about. I mean, if this film has a message, it's very much that family doesn't necessarily mean blood relations, and it's whoever you trust and love. They make up your family. Well, I mean, that's for me the message, and doesn't centre around anything particularly Catholic.
Are you surprised that people may be surprised to see you in this? Because why wouldn't you be able to do other types of roles?
I know what you mean, but I'm not surprised by it. I don't understand it, but it was sort of to be expected, I think. It was like with Equus, when I did earlier in the year, and I took my clothes off. Everyone was sort of a bit like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that. Now, to me, it was ridiculous, but I sort of expected that it would happen. You know, so it's sort of the same thing a bit here. I mean, it's only natural that I should go off and do other things. I don't know if people are surprised that I'm doing it. I think they're just they're possibly more interested than they would be if I hadn't been involved in the Harry Potter franchise.
Did you feel like you had to be strategic with what you were going to do with this one? Because, you know, obviously you were sent a lot of scripts, you know, while you were making Harry Potter. So, I mean, did you have to think strategically, okay, I'm not going to go make some other really, really big movie. I want to make this little small movie just to kind of, you know, demonstrate another side of my acting ability as opposed to...
Yeah, but if the big movie had presented with me with loads of challenges and other experiences, then I would have done it. I wasn't just saying, I have to do an indie movie next because, you know, that'll show that I'm you know, I'm just, yeah, exactly, basically. Mm-hmm. And but it just so happened that this was the best script I read, and it was for an indie movie. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to do something. But then again, if I hadn't believed in this script, I wouldn't have done anything. I know I really wanted to do something in between Harry Potter 4 and 5, but if the right script hadn't come along, it was very important that I didn't just do something for the sake of doing it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Are you a bit rebellious? Because in this movie, your role is also a bit rebellious.
Now, that's what's interesting. I don't see Maps as being rebellious. I think of him. I see him as being bored and having nothing else to do. I mean, that's the thing. People were saying, who do you think's more rebellious, Harry or Maps? And I absolutely think Harry is, because Harry rails against things more, whereas Maps has really not got anything to rail against except his own personal. Do I rebel?
Yeah. I mean, even the theater role that you were just talking about is so different.
I mean, maybe I'm rebelling against what people think I would be doing, but it's not a conscious thing. I'm just making my own choices, and if some people feel they're slightly unorthodox, then that's their issue more than mine, really. It doesn't really bother me.
So you're not the guy who'd be drinking a beer and stealing a cig and stealing a beer? Or you are?
I don't know. I mean, I've never been in a situation where I've had to steal a beer. maybe I would. I don't know.
Well, Rob told us that you listen to some music to try and really get into this character. Can you tell us what some of that music was?
Oh, God. Actually, it might still be on my iPod, the playlist. But it was stuff like... It was, I recall there was a lot of Elliot Smith on there. It was a lot of Willie Mason. It was mainly it was troubled guitar wielding men mainly, and a lot of Nirvana, Radiohead, Nine Black Alps, and stuff like that. It was fairly, you know, it was quite a dark CD, but it was, you know, it helped. I mean, music for me is the main is one of the most helpful things that can get you into a scene. You know, if I'm starting from scratch, music is mainly the thing I'll go to first.
And was this a lot different than the normal music that you choose to listen to?
No. I would often listen to stuff like that. I mean, Radiohead particularly, you know, I love. But it wouldn't. But I mean, this CD was exclusively bands like that. But I listen to a lot of. It's all mainly guitar music, but you know, it's not all quite that. Furious.
Okay. What
is
the director
you
told us?
First. You haven't asked a question yet.
Just a question. What attracted you to this character specifically? Where did you take your inspiration from?
I think everyone can sort of associate with Maps in some way, male or female, about, you know, all the heartbreak things and things like that. And also the, you know, the thing that really I didn't necessarily connect with so much, but that really moved me. I mean, when I said didn't connect with it, I mean it doesn't apply to me quite so much. But with Maps, I was really moved by his just the overwhelming desire to be needed by somebody, which he just doesn't have. I mean, these boys need him for the first half of the film, and then suddenly they meet this guy Fearless, who's cooler, tougher, older, and owns a motorbike, and they're just sort of suddenly enamored by him. And can anyone else tell me this? Is it enamored by someone or enamored with someone? This is the thing. But and so they all leave him and go to Fearless, and again Maps once more is left with no one needing him. I think he feels he needs to be needed.
So these two characters
go here and then we'll go back.
Thank you, the director told us that the last scene was shot on the last day. Actually, it was Christmas morning, and it was the first. On top of it, and this was your first love scene, and everybody was quite nervous. How did you feel that, especially that this was late, and it was the fact that it was a first love scene?
I mean, we started filming that day at 11 o'clock in the morning of December 23rd, and we finished at 4:15 a.m. on Christmas Eve. And so it was a very long day, and we filmed the sex scene probably at about 8 o'clock that night. And so I wasn't too tired yet, you know. So it wasn't too, luckily. And but I was nervous, definitely. It was quite being the first scene like that I'd ever done. It was quite not exactly imposing, but you know, you were aware that you were thinking, oh God, what do I do? What don't I do? You know, I mean. So just stuff like that, really. And but luckily, Teresa was very, very good at sort of helping me to just chill out and just be, you know, and just have a laugh, really. That's what it was about.
So how did you get the kids to...
Wait, hold on, now we're going him. Whoever interrupts is always next.
So you have said that this character is totally different than Harry Potter, but both of them are orphans, right? So it's just like they have like a common background or something. And actually, she was talking about like, we don't really know what happened with the parents of Maps. Both characters have some like common background, so maybe you just need to get inspiration from the other character.
I totally left Harry out of the equation when I was doing Maps, because they are both orphans, but they're totally different people. You know, if you said that just by playing one orphan you can play another one, you know, that would mean that all orphans would have to be basically the same character, and that's not the case. So it was, you know, it wasn't about using what I know of Harry to portray Maps at all. And in terms of what you're saying about Maps' background, I have always assumed that Maps was, or at least Maps had been told he was left, that he was, rather than, I was assumed that his parents were alive and had not wanted him, I assumed that's what he'd been told. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to do two questions because I probably won't get in again. Okay. One is, how did you get the kids, the three kids who were so in awe of you being Harry Potter, to forget that and relate to you as the character in the show? And the other one is, did you read the epilogue when it came out that had the new Harry Potter book?
I did indeed. Someone's
you did? That's what I did.
I thought I didn't go straight to the epilogue.
Oh, I did.
Oh, no. That's what my grandmother does. No.
I wonder what you thought, because we interviewed you for Harry Potter, and at that time you didn't know what the end was.
No.
And I wondered what your reaction was to him actually living.
Okay, which one do you want me to do first?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, in terms of the kids, they really were almost totally unfazed by me, or if they were intimidated, they hit it bloody well. that was never really an issue. They're a really good bunch of kids, and you know, I really, really loved working with them. They're very, very cool people. James Fraser, who plays Spit, is essentially me, age 12. So I was, you know, very fond of James. And in terms of the ending of the book, by the way, in terms of me to age 12 is James rather than his character, just to clarify. In terms of the ending of the book, I was thrilled, because because I just asked quickly, has anybody not read 7th?
Yes. No.
You haven't read, right? Okay, cool.
That's all right. Go ahead. Yeah. We know.
Everyone in the world.
Okay. Well, you know now. I was very, very pleased, because I basically get the best of both worlds, because I get the scene of my demise, and also I get to live on after that, which is like, you know, any actor's dream. You get to die, and then you have more screen time. It's fantastic. I start 6 in 10 days.
Any special preparations, special iTunes lists you're doing?
Not yet, but I'm sure I will before we start filming.
I wanted to know, could you talk about where you were reading the book and what you were experiencing as you were reading it?
Totally. There's a quote, I'm not going to take this interview down too pretentious a route through this next bit, but there's a quote from Chekhov when he wrote to the woman who was sort of the final love of his life, and who he later married and I think died with, and not that she didn't die, but he was with her when he died, and he addresses a letter to her, and he says, "Hello, the last page of my life." Which seemed very appropriate to me reading this book, because it was, you know, he has been such a part of my life now, and he's you know, I've been with him through all my teen years, and it was a very, you were suddenly aware that I started reading it was, you know, wow, this is the last time I will take a journey with this character, and it was quite a special moment. And actually, while reading the final chapters, I was listening to Sigur Rós, which was very, very appropriate, actually. It really, really worked. God, I'd love them to do a song for one of the films. They'd be absolutely fantastic.
Were you thinking about, as you were reading it, just, oh my God, this book is so amazing, it's going to be such a good movie?
I was thinking, how are we going to make it into a movie? I think that's because it's going to be tough, but that's why someone cleverer than me adapts them. I think if we get it right, which I'm confident we will, it should be amazing. Yeah.
Have you read the script for Half Blood Prince yet?
Oh God, yeah.
Absolutely. And if they adapted that book well,
very
they
well.
Cut them down some of them.
They have to. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously things have been taken out, but everything that drives the story forward is very much in place.
And you're doing a play right after you finish Half Blood Prince, right?
There's a little gap, and hopefully, if I can find another film to make, then that would be really cool. But if not, then yeah, I might actually rest.
And did you feel like you needed to read the book? Like, a lot of people read it in like 1 or 2 days. Did you feel you needed to read it quickly so someone didn't spoil
someone
anything?
You know what? Weirdly, I didn't actually. I was at a cricket match when it came out, and I didn't really start reading it properly. I mean, I read the first 30 pages one night, and then didn't. I said, right, I'm not going to pick it up again until I've got proper time to really have a go at this book. And that's it. But when I did get to it, and actually no one spoiled the ending for me. I thought they would. Mm-hmm. I thought some expletive would. I thought somebody was going to shout out what happened. But the brilliant thing about it, actually, she sort of made it spoiler proof. Because even though if someone does say what state Harry ends up in, you don't know the half of it, which is pretty impressive. And also, I am about to be dragged away. But the other thing was, oh God, remember, Dan, quickly, what were you going to say? was the fact that, yes, when I finally did get to read it, I did read it in about a day and a half, just because I just didn't put it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you use a double in the scene when this kid's leaving, he's been adopted, and you show your butt?
No, that's me. That is the genuine Radcliffe arse. No,
that's your real butt.
It certainly is. I'm proud of it.
Would you say this to Alicia? She's 9 years old.
Yeah.
I have one last question while you're signing.
You can say believe in magic or something.
Okay. What? How do you spell Alicia?
A-L-I-S-H-A.
I was curious, though, like, a lot of people feel that Alfonso Cuarón did such an amazing job with book three, and he's talked about he'd be willing to come back to the franchise.
Really?
Would you like to have him back for book seven?
It's a very interesting question. I loved working with Alfonso, so I don't want this to be misinterpreted in the slightest, but I really love working with David Yates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows if he'll do book seven. But also, I think, to be honest, it's really nice to have new directors come on board. Mm-hmm. So, is this to anyone in particular? No. Okay. And, who knows? It's a long way off book seven. It depends if, you know, if David is willing to do it. I don't know if he will be, or it depends. My God, Jason Isaacs' signature grows every time I see it. it's a long way off, so I can't really, I don't know at the moment. But I mean, I would love to work with him again in the future. But, you know, I don't know if Potter will be the place where that happens.
So you'd be okay with Yates coming back for book seven?
If he wanted to, yeah, totally.
Yes,
I do have to go in a moment because I do have other.
And did you have a good 18th birthday party?
I had a fabulous 18th birthday party. Thank you very much. No,
we didn't hear anything about it, so
good.
Great summer memories.
This summer was pretty good because I got to go to Lourdes for my birthday.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much. I'm off to
Do you have a story already?
You're doing Leno tonight, right?
I'm off to do Leno and Ellen now. So that should be fun. Yes.
Bye. 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 Bye.